It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night, 8 o'clock, and it is time for episode 192 of the Ron and Brian podcast. As always, joined by my friend, Brian. Brian, good to see you out of the bunker and back into the regular studio. How are you this evening, my friend?
I am doing splendid. I am doing well. I'm doing Splenda. I'm doing raw brown sugar. I'm doing granulated white sugar. I'm doing a little steam.
This time's gotta stop.
1 minute, 8 seconds into the show, and Ron has already cut me off. We have a new world record, people, and you witnessed it. Welcome, Ron. It is Sunday. It is, in my opinion, it's going to be a great week, so let's rock and roll into it. But before we do, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It was an exciting weekend around here, as always. We will get into that a little bit later, but always good to see you, my friend, and always good to be doing the podcast, and always good to be having our drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Fools. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week?
Ron, you are looking at, if you can, I mean, I'll just pull it up there. You are looking at a can coming from our friends over at Mayflower Brewing. You know that they're good friends of the podcast. I am drinking their Crispy Business. Ooh. Get it? The pun on Risky Business. Do you see the sunglasses on the...
I see it.
Get it?
Do you get it? It's clever, but I get it. I get it.
But do you get it? I mean...
I think I get it, yes.
Okay. It is crisp. It's smooth. It's a dry Kolsch-style ale. It pours straw golden color. It's bready. Bready or breedy?
Probably
bready, right?
Bready, I would think.
Yeah, it's a bready malt profile. It's also, I would say, that's well-balanced by traditional German hops that provide... No. Mild bittering and a delicate and pleasant aroma of apple and pear. Coming in at 4.5 ABV, it's extremely clean and very drinkable.
All right. Suck it down. Let us know what you think of it. It looks pretty tasty. Got a nice color to it, nice body.
God damn, I like it.
All right.
It is a beer, Ron. I'm not getting any turmeric. There's no hints of jasmine. I'm not getting any hops from New Zealand. It is a beer.
All right. That's good to hear.
Ron?
Yes, sir.
What are you drinking?
So something a little different this week. This is J&G Greenall's gin and tonic in a can. This is their pink grapefruit flavor. J&G Greenall's gin, of course, the original London dry gin, and this is the perfect mix with a refreshing burst of G&J Greenall's and pink grapefruit juice. This is clocking in at a solid 6%. I have not had this yet. It's got a nice, it looks like a regular gin and tonic.
Looks like there's some ice. Does it come with the ice cubes, or did you add those yourself?
I added the ice cubes myself, serve it nice and cold, and
that is a classy touch, because a lot of people fail on the ice cubes when the gin and tonic. They don't do it properly. But what you are a pro, my friend. You knew to put the ice cubes on top.
Yeah, it's tasty. I'm not going to lie.
You like it.
I'm a fan of a good gin and tonic. Could have a little bit more gin, in my opinion. Doesn't really taste. I'm not getting pink grapefruit. Like, I'm getting the sweetness. I don't know that I would refer to it as a pink grapefruit, though, but very tasty nonetheless.
Well, have you considered the possibility of giving me the next maybe 4 minutes alone on the podcast while you run downstairs to pick up a bottle of gin? I know you do have some in your house. you can top it off, as we like to say in the business, while you leave me alone in control of the podcast. I could, you know, I'll keep the flow going.
Feel like that's dangerous. I feel like I'll just drink what I have here and we will continue on with the show.
Now, I have a question. Is that because you are afraid of some type of technical issue that I would not be able to handle remotely? Or is that a reason that you don't trust me?
You have been inappropriate at times. I understand you were once kicked off of your college radio station due to your behavior. So I worry is all it is. I just worry.
That's a low blow. That is a low blow to bring up the college radio ban.
Well, maybe that can be your beef of the week.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
COVID.
Makes sense.
COVID. Last week, you know, when we did the show, I was coming in from a bunker somewhere deep in the hills of the Adirondacks. I was on tour with a hard rock band by the name of Life of Agony. They had a tour planned with 8 dates. 4 dates into the tour, shows started to get canceled. COVID infiltrated the camp, and we had to cancel the tour. So instead of being at the Stone Pony in Asbury Park yesterday, or Warsaw, Brooklyn night before, I spent the day at home watching TV. Mm. So yeah, fuck you, COVID.
Any plans to reschedule the dates, or is this just
From what I am told, the dates are already being rescheduled. There's we're looking at, I say we as if like I have any say in the fucking matter. Like the arrogance, it just sounds. I mean, basically the way it works is they just say, hey, are you available from these dates to those dates? And I say, absolutely. And then I get nervous and figure out how to ask for the time off from work, procrastinate on it, wait until the last minute till I can get away with it. Then I ask for it. My boss doesn't care because he's actually a reasonable human being. And that's the way it works. So, yeah, my understanding is that sometime later on in the spring are when they will be rescheduling these missed shows. It would be great to get back out to the Chance in Poughkeepsie, Brooklyn Stone Pony, always legendary venues. So, yeah, fuck you, COVID. Fuck you, COVID.
Well, I can understand where that anger would come from.
Ron.
Yes.
What's bothering you?
So what is bothering me?
And can I take a guess?
You can if you want, yes.
Is it your wife?
It is not. Why would you, okay. Why would you say that?
We'll get to that later on, I guess. Okay.
So my beef this week, Brian, is with people that give up on rescue animals too soon. And that as you saw on the Instagram earlier today, if you were checking it out, we are now fostering a dog here. Let me see if I can pull up the photo from our Instagram. So that right there, that is Trolley. She is an 8-year-old beagle mix who was surrendered by her adopted family today. Because they apparently did not want to give her the time for her to settle into her new household and her new routine.
Run that by me again so that I understand. So she was adopted from where? A shelter or from a...
from a local rescue organization.
Okay.
And the family, you know, the couple had this this dog for, you know, not exactly sure how long at this point. But apparently, you know, Trolley was having a little bit difficulty adjusting because, you know, it's no other dogs were in the household. She was used to living with a lot of other dogs. Apparently, she was having accidents in the house, things of that nature.
Which is fine in your home because your wife has accidents all over the place, so exactly. you won't even notice.
That's right. They decided that they needed to return her. You know, the rescue obviously not wanting her to go into a shelter, reached out looking for fosters. So we volunteered, and so we will be fostering Trolley until she is adopted out once again. And if you are in the Philadelphia area and would like to arrange a meet and greet with Trolley, head on over to our Instagram page. You can reach out to us there and we can make that connection.
Now, do we know? Oh, no. Keep the dog up while we talk about it. Put her back up.
Up again. Okay.
Yeah. Because I want the graphic of Ron's beef of the week being a photo of that dog. I'm going to send it to your wife. So do we know what happened to Trolley in the original home?
We do not.
Prior to going to this couple.
We do not have a lot of background on Trolley. Odds are she was probably like a puppy mill dog is typically the case.
Is it possible for the narrative that she was living with a dead anti-vaxxer?
We could angle it that way if you wanted to make it more topical.
I do feel like it tells a better story. So Trolley was adopted by a couple who had her for a very short period of time. She was struggling to meet their expectations of what they thought that experience was going to be. So what they decided to do was they gave her up. They brought her back and said, we don't want her anymore.
Correct.
So she has been in your home for how long?
For about 6 hours now.
Oh my God, that's it?
Oh yeah, we just got her earlier today.
Walk me through the conversation between your, let me rephrase this. Walk me through the conversation of your wife convincing you that this was the right move.
Well, it wasn't really a conversation. It was more a text earlier this week with the posting on Facebook by the rescue organization that Trolley needed a foster. So it was a picture of that. With the comment, I've reached out for us to foster Trolley because we did sign up to get approved to be foster parents for this rescue organization. So I knew this was an eventuality. But she just kind of texted and then was like, oh, well, Trolley will be here on Sunday. Like, all right.
Well, I mean, also keep in mind, I applied for that same organization to be fostered, and they have yet to find a home for me. So I'm still stuck up here in New York paying my own rent. How has it gone so far? How is Trolley interacting with the with Paisley, who's the official mascot of the Ron and Brian podcast? And then as Janelle points out, you also have several cats. How's it going so far?
I mean, so far so good. You know, Paisley gets along with her. She's very very even tempered, very friendly, just has been settling in fine with cats. The cats are keeping their distance, but she's fine with them. So yeah, I think she will just have to get used to it. She's had one accident so far, so it's just a matter of you know, keeping an eye on her, making sure she knows she can go outside, and you know, let's see how tonight goes. Getting through the first night always tends to be the biggest challenge.
Where is she right now?
She is right now, I believe, in bed with my wife as she tries to calm her down a bit and get her ready to go into her crate for the evening.
Now, has Trolley expressed any preference as to whether she falls asleep with the TV on or off?
Not as of yet, but she did fall asleep earlier while we were watching TV. So clearly she can fall asleep while the TV's on.
So she will be in the crate.
She will be in the crate. She's probably like 25, 26 pounds. So she's a little bit bigger. So
okay,
she'll be more comfortable that way. And the rescue organization, they do prefer that you crate the dog because, you know, whatever home she goes to.
Sure.
They need to be used to that.
Of course. Now, where are you putting the crate in your home?
The crate is in our bedroom.
So she gets to go into the bedroom. Paisley has to stay downstairs.
No, Paisley will be in the bedroom as well.
I thought Paisley sleeps downstairs.
Well, you move her downstairs because she gets up in the middle of the night. She
got
it. Gets up and then she gets up and then she just is, she's just all over the place.
Understood. Understood. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You and your wife are incredible people. I cannot speak highly enough for people that foster animals. Here's an animal that could be in a steel cage. Oh, no, you are putting her in a cage. Never mind. Sorry. Forget about it, Ron.
All right. Now, Brian.
Yes.
Thank you for your kind words, by the way. Appreciate that. I know that this is one of the most exciting times of the year or the 4 years for you. It is Olympic time, Brian. 2022 sure. Winter Olympics kicked off this week in Beijing. How have you been enjoying it so far?
I'm going to say this. When you get an opportunity for the best of every country in the world to meet in a certain location and put their skills on display, you are looking at the greatest of the greatest, the best at their peak. Rivalries are settled. Challenges are laid. I have not watched 1 minute of the Olympics and could not care. And I will say this. Every 2 years, there is an Olympics. They alternate between winter and summer.
Yeah.
I feel like China just had an Olympics, and I believe they had the 2020 Summer Games. So I'm a little suspicious. That's 2 years. Yeah. I believe they just had the Summer Games. So I'm a little suspicious how they got, how one country got two Olympics within such a short period of time. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm not all conspiracy theory. I'm not going to make up stuff. Just bribery.
Why not? Why not make up stuff?
Well, you know, the recent libel laws and Spotify has gotten very uptight with the content they're willing to put up.
That's true.
Every time there's Olympics as it's leading up to it, I kind of make that mental note to myself of, you know what? I'm going to be aware of what's going on. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to check out some sports I've never seen or heard of, or I'm going to watch some people, you know, really doing something that they've practiced their entire lives for this one moment. And then I always turn it on. And within a couple of minutes, I just go, No, not interested. I turned on the, and you would think this would have been of interest to me. I turned on the U.S. women's hockey team playing the Russian hockey team.
Classic encounter.
Listen, you know me. You know where I stand on the Russians. We do not see eye to eye very often. U.S. was up 2-0, and I turned it off, and I think I put on an episode of Parks and Recreation.
All right. Fair enough. Well, the real sport is coming next weekend, Brian. Super Bowl is next Sunday. Bengals versus the Rams. Is that the matchup?
It is the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are currently favored. I don't know what the line is, Ron. You can look it up while I freestyle. However, this is the granddaddy of them all. This is the sporting event that gets the most eyes on one game. You have basically all of America. This is mandatory in this country. You have people in Europe. You have people in Asia, Africa, South America, Antarctica, Greenland.
The sun's gotta stop.
So you're saying it's watched the world over?
I would say there's a lot of people watching. The halftime show is gonna be lit for people in their 40s. You know, 30 years ago when Bruce Springsteen headlined, everybody was like, no. This Super Bowl is for your parents. This halftime show is for your granddaddy. No. This Super Bowl halftime show this year, it's for us. It's for us kids. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Warren G. It's going to have Eminem. It's going to have Nate Dogg, Mary J. Blige. Whitney Houston's going to do a cameo. Ronnie Dio is going to come out.
I was going to say, you're throwing out the names of a lot of people who are dead. But yes, halftime will be exciting. To follow up, so Rams are currently 4.5-point favorites, and the over-under is currently sitting at 48.5. But more importantly, Brian, you know what we love about the Super Bowl. We love the prop bets, all the crazy side bets. And we're gonna have a little competition against each other, aren't we?
What are the stakes?
What do you want?
We like to gamble. Ron and I like to gamble.
What do you want the stakes to be? Round a number.
40?
$40?
$40 in a Super Bowl prop bets?
I'm good with that. So let's run through these prop bets real quick. The first one, of course, always popular, the length of the national anthem in seconds.
Over 6.25 inches.
Over under 122.5 seconds. This year, the national anthem is being sung by Mickey Guyton, who is a country music star nominated for the 2022 Grammy Awards in the Best Country Album, Best Country Song, and Best Country Solo Performance.
Hold up.
Remember her name.
Keep going, Ron. You keep talking.
All right. So, Brian, for the over-under for the length of the national anthem in seconds, 122.5, over or under?
Oh, are you keeping track of your picks?
I am.
Over.
Over. Normally I would agree with you. But since this is country music, I am actually going under. I don't know.
You fucking racist.
I don't think she's going to.
You just said that because a white person is singing it, they are not going to drag it out by holding notes for an abnormally long period of time. Whereas if it were a R&B artist, say Rihanna or Zendaya or Dua Lipa, you're saying that they would have gone, and the okay.
I think it's a quick one. All right, next one.
Racist.
Coin toss result: heads or tails?
Tails.
I'm going heads. All right. Game winner: Rams or Bengals?
Rams.
Really? I'm going Bengals. We're really not seeing eye to eye here.
It's like I don't even know you.
The game total, as we said, over under 48.5. Are you over or are you under?
I am under 48.5.
Another one. I am over on that. First offensive play of the game. Is it a run or is it a pass?
It's going to be a run.
We got the same one on that one. Will there be a score in the first 6 minutes, 59 seconds, yes or no?
Just like on prom night, oh yeah, there's going to be a score in the first 6 minutes.
All right, I said yes to that as well. Team to score first, Rams or Bengals?
I don't like goats, but I love Rams.
All right, I got the Rams on that one as well. The jersey number of the first touchdown scorer, is that going to be odd or even, Brian?
Odd.
See, I went even.
That's because you're wrong.
The first accepted penalty will be against the Rams or the Bengals.
The Bengals.
I went with Bengals on that one as well. Will there be a score in the final 2 minutes of the first half? Yes or no, Brian?
Yes.
I went yes as well. Will a team score 3 consecutive times, not including point afters?
No.
I went no as well. Let's see, what else do we have here? The next one is Matthew Stafford passing yards, over or under 284.5.
We're going under.
Under, that is surprising. I am going over on that one. Let's see, we've got Joe Burrow passing yards, over under 276.5.
I also went under.
I went under on that one as well. Next up, we've got Total receiving yards for Cooper Kupp, over under 104.5.
Under.
Under. I go over on that one.
I don't know who Cooper Kupp is.
Wide receiver for the Rams.
It sounds like the generic name brand for a athletic support product that is sold to high schools in middle America. Hey, kid, yeah. Don't forget your Cooper Kupp.
Next up, total receiving yards for Ja'Marr Chase, over under 80.5.
Over. I had always said a long time ago, if I ever fostered a dog, I would rename it Ja'Marr. Haven't had the opportunity to do that yet, but I am waiting for Ja'Marr Perlis to come into my home.
I went under on that one. Next, length of longest successful field goal in yards, over or under 46.5.
Over.
I went over on that also. Team with the longest successful field goal, Rams or Bengals?
Rams.
See, I went Bengals on that. Kicker's been hot. Length of longest touchdown in yards, over or under 44.5.
Let's go under, Pat.
All right, we got under there as well. Team with the longest touchdown, Rams or Bengals?
Going Bengals.
Oh, I went Rams on that one. Total QB sacks, over under 4.5.
Under.
Under as well. Total turnovers, over or under 2.5.
Total turnovers, I went over.
I went under.
That's because you're wrong.
Number of challenges initiated by coaches, over under 1.5.
Under 1.5. There will be one.
I went over. I think there'll be two. Will there be a missed extra point, either a single or a two-point conversion?
No.
I went yes. Let's see here. Color of Gatorade bath. Will it be white/clear, or will it be any other color?
If you want to talk white versus clear, I will say this. After you've had a vasectomy, the color is literally the exact same. No, there is no change to the visible presentation of it. It is still a white, clear, viscous material. Absolutely, anybody would,
you know. As far as Gatorade goes, white/clear, or will it be any other color?
Any other color? I'm going to say it will be blue.
All right.
And he needed the money.
And then finally, position of Super Bowl MVP. Will it be a quarterback, or will it be any other position?
Quarterback.
See, I am saying any other position. I think this comes down to a wide receiver. So there is our top 20, other 25 prop bets. Do we want to get the fans involved somehow?
Well, since we just gave out our bets, I'm not sure that it's fair.
That's true. All right. Well, we will figure out a way. We have not yet made our exact picks against the line and the over-under. Again, we will be putting those out exclusively to our titanium level members on Patreon or higher. If you would like to join the Patreon, you see the scroll on the screen. You go to RonAndBrianPodcast.com. You go to the upper right-hand corner, you click on Become a Patron, and that's how you can join. It's also a great way if you want to join our After Dark, which will be at 9:30 this evening. If you join at the bronze level or higher, you get access to the live broadcast this evening. So I'm excited about the Super Bowl. I'm excited about After Dark. Brian, do you match my excitement?
I match, if not exceed it. One of the high points of my month is the After Dark Pajama Party, where we invite our Patreons to join us, our friends, our family, people that we hold near and dear to us. Come on the show. Watch with us. You know, we talk stories. We talk all bunch of good stuff. And overall, we get a little bit closer as humanity. And ultimately, isn't that what we are, we're the goal of everything?
That is what we are trying to do.
Ron, what did you drop on the floor? Let's bring attention to it.
My dog just disappeared behind the chair. I'm wondering what's going on back there.
Are you looking for Trolley?
I have Paisley with me this evening.
Do you think Paisley crawled into the beer fridge?
No, I have it closed, although she's hanging out near the beer fridge. So who knows?
Because she's smart. So you changed the hinge on the door?
I flipped the hinges. So now if I need to get into my fridge, I don't need to reach the other side. I can just pop it open, just spin and pop. Spin and pop.
How difficult was it, if I may ask?
It wasn't that difficult, I'm not going to lie.
For somebody who is, how do I say this politely, not handy,
right,
is it something that you think I could handle?
Potentially. I think if you've got the right tools, you know, just make sure you you empty the fridge prior to doing that.
I do have the tools of the trade.
All right, very good. So moving on. We have to touch on the Joe Rogan controversy.
Yep. Which is still going. It's not a finished subject.
Still going on because there was a video that was distributed on a few Instagram accounts this past week. It showed him utilizing the N-word on his podcast. It was a compilation video more than 20 times. There was also a section where he was talking about the movie Planet of the Apes. He talked about how he went to see the movie in a movie theater with a lot of black people in it and referred to the movie theater also as the Planet of the Apes. So he apologized for using that, although he said that there was it was a lot of them were taken out of context.
Well, no. They're all taken out of context. Literally, it is a compilation of about a minute long of Joe Rogan using the N-word.
Right.
Now, the question is, do you believe going currently, meaning today, going backwards through recent times, through what looked like some of the videos, you know, within that compilation seemed to be very dated, you know, going back 10 plus 15 years or so. The question is
12 years.
Yeah. You don't have to correct me.
I mean, I'm not correcting you. I was just clarifying for you.
Sure. Okay.
Showing how correct you were, actually.
But like the question becomes is, under what circumstances over the past 12 years is it okay to say the N-word?
Right.
As a white male.
Is there a context in which it's acceptable?
I'm going to argue no.
And he apologized. He admitted that the video looked horrible even to him. He said there was a lot of shit from the old episodes of the podcast that I wish I hadn't said or had said differently. There's been a number of podcasts of his that have now been taken down off of Spotify. There's 70 episodes, more than 70.
Oh, they're over 100. They're over 100 at this point.
More, I was
Yeah.
Although the 100, excuse me, it's now up to 113. There is actually now a website called JREmissing.com, which is tracking any episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience that have been removed.
Shockingly, they took down the Chris D'Elia one.
You know, that's the one that jumps out at me. I feel like they may have taken that one down for other reasons. Just throwing that out there.
They took down the one with Ari Shaffir. Oh, I don't. Why would they take down the one with Ari Shaffir and Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura? Is that the one where they talk about Ari Shaffir dosing Kreischer?
I'm not quite sure. He has had Owen Benjamin on quite a bit, it seems.
Who's Owen Benjamin?
He's a comedian. He does voice work. I think he does voices for Bob's Burgers. I think what else does he do?
I don't know.
A number of his episodes have been taken down. The Alex Jones episode being taken down, that's unconscionable.
No, that should be the first one. Yeah. It does look like they're going in numerical. It does look like Spotify has somebody listening to each episode because if you look at the ones that are missing of the 113, they're almost all low numbers. So it sounds like Spotify actually is went back and said to somebody or said to a team, start actually listening to the Joe Rogans at the beginning and take out anything that we find. What I find actually the most insult, like, okay, here's my next question as I go off onto a slight tangent. As a content creator, you now have sold your rights, and we're willing, basically, anybody who's willing to buy the rights to our archives. I mean, I'd sell that shit real fast. I would sell it to the Third, to the Fourth Reich. Would you?
I mean, it seems, I don't know.
Okay, say Bill Cosby comes to you and says, I'm thinking about starting a podcast network. Would you join it?
Probably not, no.
You wouldn't?
I don't think I could, no.
Really?
Really.
The Proud Boys say, hey, listen, we're starting our own, you know, entertainment channel, and we think you are the right podcast for us to launch into the space.
It's all about integrity, Brian. If you don't have integrity, what do you have?
We've never had integrity.
Shh, I'm trying to get Whoopi Goldberg's seat on The View. So just
okay, good. All right, enough said. Now, okay, so my question is this. Which would you be more upset by? Your whole show being taken down or somebody editing offensive parts out of each individual episode? So, like, what we're talking about here on Joe Rogan is he has, I think he's at about 1,200 episodes. Excuse me, he's almost at 1,500 episodes, of which 113 have been taken down off Spotify.
Correct.
Now, it's not as if they're saying, hey, these 10 minutes we have an issue with, these 5 minutes when you said this one thing. They're taking down 2-3 hours of the of content. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have them take down the entire show or delete the part of the show that they're finding offensive?
I think I would just rather have them delete the portion that is offensive, because then you at least have the rest of the episode. I mean, that's, you know, at 1500 episodes, I mean, that's what, that's about 7% of his content that has been taken down.
Sure. A little bit more. You say a little bit more, a little bit less.
Yeah. A little bit more, a little bit less.
Yeah. See, that's why I can never trust your cooking again. Especially after those photos of that prime rib you sent over, the chips raw.
So, your correction, Bob's Burger is someone different. John Benjamin is the voice actor for that. I got confused because you do remember the Bob's Burgers episode where he rolled out the Krakow double cheeseburger, and that just really, I think a lot of people were offended. So that's, you can understand my confusion.
I have never seen one episode of Bob's Burger.
All right. Well, don't see that one. I don't think you can anymore. Anyway, Joe Rogan.
Yeah. So you would be okay with them editing specific things out of it rather than taking down the entire episode?
I think so, yes. Well, I mean, yeah. What's your take on it?
No, I think once you have signed your name on the contract, in this case, Joe Rogan with Spotify, where they now are, the exclusive host, I think they get to pick and choose what they want to do. And I think, you know, it's if he's doing a 2-hour show of which, you know, a portion of it they find offensive, I think that it makes more sense for them just to take out the offensive part, especially. And this is one thing that I've yet to see from them. Is what is the criteria for them deleting things out of the Joe Rogan Experience? And are they applying that to other shows on their network?
That's a good question. And I don't know that they've really addressed that at all.
No, I think what they're doing is taking out stuff to because they have had a very bad week. You know, a week ago, we were talking Neil Young. We were talking Joni Mitchell. We were talking Nils Lofgren. That's all I'm going with. Now, let's be brutally honest. You know, it's a week ago. It was basically seen as, you know, your parents' generation of music artists having a problem with your generation. And nobody really seemed to be all that concerned about, the offense, the people going out saying that they had an issue with the content Joe Rogan was putting up. But it clearly has gained enough steam that it has become a PR nightmare for Spotify, where, and this is where I think it really got interesting, was that it struck up the conversation that has been simmering for a very long time of how Spotify is making billions of dollars of profit without really spreading the revenue back to the artists who are providing content. You know, I think, you know, when you look at one of those comparison graphs of how much YouTube pays per stream, how much Apple Music pays per stream, how much Napster, I think Napster is actually an online streaming service. If you look at what Spotify pays the artists whose music is on their platform, it is, it's morally offensive how little they pay.
Right.
You know, so I think that in the past week or so, the conversation started to be, well, like, while we're at the point of complaining about Spotify and the content they put on, let's also complain about how they are wildly successful and profitable off the backs of the artists who are creating music and not really compensating the artists for it. And suddenly, lo and behold, very quickly, suddenly they started deleting Joe Rogan, like as if that was going to head off the argument of what really is the debate about what's going on with Spotify, which is how they can be a multi-billion-dollar company, rewarding themselves off of profits while paying music artists, you know, fractions of a penny per stream.
So now there was a poll out there that said 19% of people that the poll questioned said that they had either canceled their Spotify accounts or would be canceling their Spotify accounts. You know, the question then becomes whether people actually follow through on that or not. Obviously, their market took a hit. You know, their stock dropped. But again, that's something that can always, you know, like you said, bounce back up once they have a good earnings report. Another good point someone made is that the person who will be impacted the least in the long run on this is Joe Rogan. You know, he's made millions of dollars off of this podcast, and even
sure.
Even in the rare instance, if Spotify were to cancel his contract, which I don't think will happen, he'll just go somewhere else. Another platform will pay him money to do what he's been doing. So,
well, he doesn't even, I mean, the thing is this, and this is where I think, the podcasts, when you really think about it, are relatively inexpensive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we clearly need, you know, we need the financial support of our Patreons to help offset all the costs that we incur. But when you really think about it, Joe Rogan, it's not costing him $10 million a year, to do the show. So what really is the money is just the gravy. He's going to do the show, like, whether he's making Spotify money or not.
Right.
He was doing the show in his living room. And the reason why Spotify wanted a piece of Joe Rogan was that so many people were interested in the product he was putting out. He's going to put that same product out regardless of whether Spotify is behind it or not.
Right. And taking Joe Rogan off the air, so to speak, doesn't solve the bigger issue of the fact that there are people that are willing to take in the type of content that he's putting out there, especially these you know, COVID theories that have been proven false, that people will just take that in, whether they get it from Joe Rogan or whether they get it from somewhere else. It doesn't address the base root of the problem.
Well, I think the real problem is the fact that people are looking at Joe Rogan, and because he speaks intelligently, they are taking the information that is being said on his show as verified, credible facts. because he says it seriously, because he has people who he is purporting as experts, there is going to be a large percentage of the people who sit there and say, oh, I heard it on Joe Rogan, it has to be true. The flip side of that coin is that there's things being said on MSNBC right now that are equally slanted in a different direction, per se.
Sure.
And there's people sitting there saying, well, I heard it on MSNBC, so there, Rachel Maddow said it, so it has to be true. I, you know, I have to believe that, you know, after five shots, I'm going to be fully vaccinated. And these vaccines are doing the trick. And you can't say that because Joe Rogan says it, it's laughable. Rachel Maddow says it, it has more weight to it.
Right. No, I agree. You know, again, it's people just want, again, it's this whole echo chamber thing that we always talk about. People listen to content that supports what they believe in and what they follow. And people need to do their research.
Absolutely. And not even it's doing its research, but I think what the most important part of it is, listen to somebody that disagrees with you. Listen to their logic. Hear where they're coming from. Do they make any sense? Don't just listen to somebody who says what you already believe. You know, one of the things I like about Joe Rogan is that he has people on that normally I would sit there and say, you're a fucking crackpot, and I completely ignore you. And you know what happens when he has one of those people on? I don't listen to it. Sure. You know what happens when he has on one of the comedians that I like? I listen to it. I pick and choose. That's what I do.
There you go. Speaking of comedians, Jimmy Carr coming under fire this past week for what some are saying is an abhorrent Holocaust remark in his Netflix special, a special that's been out for, what, 6-7 weeks already?
Sure.
People are just catching it. He made a comment about the Holocaust, talking about how many Jewish lives were lost, but how people never mentioned the thousands of gypsies because no one ever wants to talk about the positives, which he said, even in the special, that it was a solid joke. People apparently feel otherwise. Again, the name of the special was His Dark Material. He is known to be an outrageous, offensive comedian.
First off, that is a solid joke. You butchered the delivery intentionally.
Sorry, I did.
But the whole beauty of it is the misdirection.
Right.
Which is like
providing sympathy to the gypsies that were killed.
Correct. Correct.
Instead, he celebrates it.
Absolutely. And what I'm shocked at is that he is known as an offensive comedian. He is known as saying things that make you laugh and cringe at the same time. I am just I am saddened at the level of cancel culture that it's getting to. It's now getting to people who sit there and advertise, I'm going to say terrible things, but it's for humor. I am making jokes. I don't believe this. This is exactly what I am saying.
Right. And again, to your point, that would be like someone watching like an Anthony Jeselnik comedy special and being offended by some of the things he says. Like that's his angle. And again, if you are not a fan, don't listen.
People don't believe that. People want only what they support. And that's the world. That's the problem. The world we live in right now.
Also in the news this week, apparently the Masked Singer was recording an episode where one of the contestants was unmasked and found to be former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, which allegedly led to judges Robin Thicke and Ken Jeong walking off in protest. My question would be is if you're actually doing...
Whoa, wait a second.
Yeah.
You're going to do this story about Rudy Giuliani?
You want to do the story about Rudy Giuliani?
I said to you that if you mention Rudy Giuliani, I'm walking off the show.
See, Brian, people don't give Brian credit for his acting chops, but I think you just saw right there how good he can be. But again, my thing is if you are appearing as a judge on The Masked Singer, I think you have already sold out your credibility
sure.
to appear on that show. And so whomever appears from, you know, being under a mask, you shouldn't be shocked. Again, crazy to put Rudy Giuliani in the spotlight like that, yes. But again, it's Fox, it's The Masked Singer. You should know what you're getting into if you agree to do a show like that on that network.
Yeah, I think you have zero credibility, but I also believe it definitely feels like that is Hollywood now. It feels like Hollywood has definitely there seems to be a level where things are okay, and Hollywood seems to have created this mass market below it where it's just terrible. It's just gross. Speaking of which, Ron, what are you watching?
So what am I watching? So I've been trying to catch up on the Book of Boba Fett. Only have gotten through a couple of episodes, but
same.
But good so far. Other than that, you know, I don't think that I watched too much this week.
Really? I guess with your foster dog, it's very hard to sit and watch.
I tried watching that new Will Arnett series on Netflix called Murderville.
How many episodes did you get into it? Because I actually liked the concept of it.
Okay.
And then about four episodes into it, I lost interest in it.
I did not make it through the first episode.
Okay, so this is the concept, and I didn't realize it the first episode, which was with Conan O'Brien. So the concept of Murderville is that it is a whodunit show, half an hour comedy, where they have a special, where Will Arnett plays a murder detective, and there is a celebrity guest each episode who is not given a script to the show. So all of their scenes, they have to improvise.
Yes. That nails it.
And I didn't realize it the first episode with Conan O'Brien because I missed the intro. So I just saw him laughing and Will Arnett overacting in scenes with Conan O'Brien. And I was just like, okay, I guess they didn't really care about editing or being professional here. So, all right. So at some point, it was the second episode. I believe it was Marshawn Lynch.
That is correct.
Then I saw Annie Murphy. I thought it was going to be Eddie Murphy, but it was Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek.
Oh, Schitt's Creek. Sorry.
She was in Ghostbusters?
No, I'm thinking of another actress.
Leslie Jones? See, Spotify would delete that comment.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of cute watching the act. And the whole idea is that at the end of the episode, the celebrity guest is given three different options to choose from of who committed the murder and have to explain their logic in picking it. I believe also Sharon Stone is on it, Kumail Nanjiani, and someone else who I can't remember. Point is, to make a long story short, I watched it. I thought it was cute, but three episodes into it, I lost interest and was not entertained by it.
You made it further than I did. I did. I forgot that I watched this documentary, The Tinder Swindler, about a gentleman who stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from women that he met on Tinder to finance a very lavish lifestyle of his. So this is, it's about, I want to say it's like an hour and 45 minutes. It's not an individual. One thing I liked is it's just one long documentary.
Yeah.
It's not individual episodes. But it was very interesting. So I would recommend The Tinder Swindler.
I caught up with Ozark.
Yes. I finished that the other week.
I know that. You mentioned it. I knocked it out this past week. I also watched the season three, and I hope it's the last of Ricky Gervais's Afterlife.
Mm, how was that?
God, I love it. And it's not a great season. I'm not going to lie. Did not need to be made. I don't believe season three adds anything to what he did in one and two. But I do believe the concept of Afterlife, it is by far the most depressing TV show on television. It's about a man struggling to get over the loss of his wife to cancer. And then his father dies in season two. So season three is just like the 1-2 punch of despair. It's season three wasn't great. Didn't need to be made, but I definitely, I love anything that makes me feel depressed because then I feel like I have justification for how I naturally feel. It's just, you know, it's suddenly like not my depression. It's just, you know, the depression of, the TV show I'm watching. I feel like I watched something else. Oh, I also finished Dexter, the new season of, Dexter, which, spoiler alert, is also the last season of Dexter, apparently, as he gets shot in the last episode and dies by his son.
Spoiler alert.
That's right. Spoiler alert. I called it. Nobody can be mad at me. And then I also am planning this week, I think it's on Hulu, but there's a documentary by, I forgot the guy's name, Kumail Bale or whatnot, on Let's Talk About Bill Cosby.
Yes, that is actually on Showtime, I believe.
Showtime. I absolutely want to watch that. That's it. I saw it. I saw the preview, and that looks really good because... It looks like a lot of people who idolize Bill Cosby talking about Bill Cosby. You know, I think that especially people of our generation, the Cosby Show was must-see TV. It was, you know, watching the family dynamic, how it should be when you've got a mother and father paying attention and caring about their children. Values were passed on through that TV show. The shock of it coming out that Bill Cosby, resident of Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, turns out to just be a man who drugs women and rapes them while they're passed out. Which little did I know is one of the requirements for living in that county in Pennsylvania. I had no idea. So I think it's going to be interesting watching. I did not realize the way that the show was going to be set up. It appears to be very interview driven in terms of talking to different people about their experience with Bill Cosby and their coming to terms with the reality of who he was versus who they had thought he was. I'm looking forward to watching that this week.
All right. Sounds good. You know who's going to miss that documentary, Brian? Is the people.
Bill Cosby?
The people that we lost this week because there are dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Brian, who do you bring to the table for your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
Listen, my Portuguese is a little rusty, but I'm going to bring Olavo de Carvalho.
This gentleman right here?
Brazilian philosopher, anti-vaxxer. Ironically, died in Richmond, Virginia. Olavo, why do I feel the need to overpronounce it? Olavo, he was actually very tight with Brazil's right-wing president. How do you pronounce J-A-I-R? Jair?
Jair?
Jair? Jair Bolsonaro. So he was known in Brazil as the mentor to Bolsonaro, Brazil's right-wing president. Recently had immigrated to America, where he spent the last years of his life. He was online voraciously, for lack of a better phrase, was a huge coronavirus denier, sat there and said that in multiple social media posts, he was just always on social media. Apparently, this guy didn't do much else. Here's a perfect example of him not even talking about coronavirus. Capitalism is the godfather and protector of communism. The war is not between capitalism and communism. It is between Christianity and communism. So that's philosophy for you. But most of his posts are about the quote unquote fear of an alleged deadly virus, pointing fingers at the Chinese virus, whatnot. Well, the man sat there and clearly was in communication, in close contact with Bolsonaro in terms of Brazil's handling of the pandemic, was a huge believer of hydroxychloroquine, which we know does wonders, especially for children who don't have the receptors. He claimed in social media posts that the death counts were fake, claimed, you know, just across the board, started to promote QAnon, and their beliefs. I don't know if he ever got to the point of saying that JFK Jr. is still alive, but overall was just a spreader of some questionable theories. And one theory that is not questionable is that he is now dead of COVID. Even his own family has posted things where they're asking for people to pray for his soul. He has estranged family members who are saying that he brought upon his death. It gets a little dark, but Olavo de Carvalho, you are dead.
Oh, so that is that's a pretty impressive candidate, Brian. But if
can you top me? Can you top me, Ron?
If I may bring to the screen, Franco Trinca, from San Feliciano, Italy. He was a what they call a nutritional biologist. He was an outspoken anti-vaxxer from the time the vaccine program against COVID was announced. He made many appearances on TV talking, spouting against COVID and discussing alternative remedies such as hydrochloroquine, the organic soil vitamins, and quercetin. He pushed the debunked theory that vaccine.
Whoa, slow down. What is the organic soil?
I guess if you grow vegetables in organic soil, that will help you fight the COVID.
Okay. Sick. I'm not denying that. That could. I mean, I'm not saying organic anything is theoretically way healthier for you.
And so he pushed the debunked theory that the vaccines have graphene in them. And also that the spike proteins would cause cancer. He helped draft a quote-unquote criminal case against the Italian government for their COVID response. He declared on Italian TV that he didn't get vaccinated because he had a, quote, good immune system. Not too good, because he did come down with COVID and also refused to be intubated, which helped lead to his death at the age of 69.
Nice.
So, Franco Trinca, we say goodbye to you as we do all of our dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
And by the way, I just want to go on record. We are not celebrating these people's deaths.
No. That's not why we do this.
We are mourning their deaths because, in our opinion, we feel these deaths are completely unnecessary.
There. So, Brian, you made a little shopping trip this past week, if I'm to believe.
Oh, no, Ron. I'm saving that story for after dark.
What? You're saving So, Brian, your trip to the weed dispensary, you are saving for after dark.
I officially made a legal marijuana purchase, but you don't get to hear that story unless you are a member of our Patreon There you go. Link right there. 75 cents. Billy, ring it up. We have to pay royalties. Go to RonandBrianPodcast.com right now. Join our Patreon. And you will hear me tell my story of going to a legal weed dispensary.
All right. Well, real quick, before we get out of here.
Do we have time for celebrity deaths?
Well, I want you to instead. I want you to explain the Jeff Bezos story to me. Jeff Bezos and his super yacht and this bridge that they wanted to take down.
All right. So I believe it's in Rotterdam. I could be wrong about the town. It's definitely Dutch. Where is it? It is the mayor of Rotterdam. Okay. So Jeff Bezos has this massive super yacht. Okay. It is a gigantic boat. It is ludicrously large, probably the largest yacht in this world. And he wants to take it through point A to point B, going through the town of Rotterdam, because he's Jeff Bezos.
Right.
Unfortunately, the path that he or like his boat manager or the captain, what was the captain on the Love Boat?
Gavin McLeod was the actor.
But what was the character's name?
Captain Steuben.
Okay. So whether it's Jeffrey Bezos or Captain Steuben. Oh, I bet he was Steubing a lot of the female passengers on that Love Boat. Who was the, remember the bartender when he had like, remember Isaac when they like showed him in the credits, he went like this.
Yeah.
So I think he started off going like this with his drink. This is good for an audio format for those listening. I get it. So the plans that they have filed in terms of the path of this mega yacht takes them through the city of Rotterdam. And unfortunately, the bridge that they are going to have to go under in Rotterdam is too low for this boat to clear through on. So what Bezos or his manager or whomever, Micah tells me is Bezos has no idea that this is even in the works. I think he is so far removed from the day-to-day of his day. I think he goes, hey, I want to go to this town, figure it out, make it happen. And then he's got people to do it. So apparently there is a bridge that has a lower crossing than what is needed for this boat to go through. It's about a 145-year-old bridge. So the news report said that the city of Rotterdam was going to dismantle the bridge, let Bezos's yacht go through, and then they were going to put the bridge back up.
Right.
Then when people were outraged that this town in the Netherlands, that they were going to go out of pocket to make Bezos happy, there was an outrage. And then it became, oh, hold on a second. Any costs that we have to outlay, Bezos is going to pay us back for. Then it became, holy fucking shit. This is a 145-year-old bridge. Fuck Bezos. Our bridge stays. He doesn't get to dismantle it simply because he wants to pass through. Let him figure a way to get around it. And I believe that is where the current story ends.
But what I don't get is
why Bezos isn't paying to just empty out the ocean so that the floor is lower so he can go under the bridge. I don't know that. I don't get water. I don't understand it.
But apparently it's a case of neither he nor any of his representatives or the company that is building this yacht. No one has even started the process.
The yacht already exists.
Right. No, they're building the yacht.
And no, the yacht's built.
Right. They're building the yacht. But but what the media is saying is in order for the new yacht to leave where it has been built, it would have to pass where this bridge is. But it's like the media is reporting this like he's asked for this bridge to be taken down. But that just that hasn't been the case. Like, they haven't even reached out or made any arrangements to move the boat at this point.
I would imagine for this story to have hit the news, for all those things actually to have already happened, and now the people who are responsible are trying to back their way away from responsibility. Like, I believe that somebody's built a yacht too big. Netherlands are known for their yacht industry. My guess is that somebody built it too big without realizing how does this thing get out, and is now sitting there trying to figure out ways to make that happen.
Well, we shall see.
Smells like something is burning, but I don't have anything on fire in this apartment.
Well, you might want to go check on that. All right. I think we need to, I have to go take the foster dog out in between episodes because we are going to be going live in 20 minutes for our Patreon subscribers for our After Dark. You got the double finger point down pat. I think you should just do that the entire After Dark, just 30 minutes of Brian pointing. So anything else? I mean, again, I think this was a solid podcast. I think,
fuck yes,
you know, for free content, you all got, your money's worth, but the Patreon is worth even more. So hopefully some of you will head on over to ronandbrianpodcast.com, get signed up. If you do it right now, we can get you the link to help you join us on After Dark very shortly.
$5 a month gets you audio only. $10 a month. Two Starbucks coffees. The price it takes for you to foster a dog for a day and a half. I mean, it does not cost a lot. Gets you live streaming After Dark. I'm going to talk about buying marijuana legally. We're going to talk sex. We're going to talk, what other stories do we have lined up for our Patreon? We've got sex, we have more sex, and we have even more sex. Wow. Afghanistan's top porn star. We've got a fitness company that combines OnlyFans and Peloton. I mean, holy cow. Let's put it this way. Ron's computer's RAM is going to be strained. And if you join our Patreon at bronze or higher, you are going to be able to come on After Dark with us, join us, be on the show with us. We do it once a month. We were not able to do it a week ago because of my travels. I am home. I am safe. I am sound. I am where I should be. In 18 minutes, we are doing it. Go for it.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. For our regular listeners, we will catch you next week. For our Patreon folks, we will catch you in 12 minutes. But regardless, thanks for all for joining us.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.